It's time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
And here we are once again, episode 166 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I'm Ron, as always, joined by my merch partner in crime, Brian. Brian, how the hell are you this evening?
Doing great, Ron. Just doing great. I feel very excited about what's the possibilities of all the different trajectories that may take place in the next hour or so. And I'm really excited to be on the ride with you.
All right. Brian, you seem to have a really nice hat on there tonight. Yeah, I have you as well. The Ron and Brian podcast. Of course, we have to whore ourselves out right at the beginning of the podcast. Head over to ronandbrianpodcast.com. You'll find our web store, and you'll also find out how, if you can join the Patreon, become a subscriber, and join us for After Dark, which will happen later on tonight. Takes place at 9:30. Special content for our Patreon subscribers. Brian drinking from his Ron and Brian podcast coffee mug. Also some merch that is available if you join the Patreon. But we have a jam-packed show. Oh, yeah, the shot glass as well. Brian drinking from the Ron and Brian podcast shot glass. But again, we have a jam-packed show tonight. So let's get right into it with Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
Nostrovia.
Salud.
Drink of the Week.
Trancha.
Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
All right, Brian, what are you drinking this week?
Ooh. Ron, today is Sunday. Sunday means it's not a weekday, it's a weekend. So I have broken out of my beer fridge, not quite your beer fridge, not your legendary Ron beer fridge, but I've broken out of my beer fridge Weekend Vibes IPA from Coronado Brewing. Coming in at a 6.8 ABV, brewed with a blend of Mosaic, Citra, and Simcoe hops, bursting with tropical dankness, this beer is everything you want from a San Diego-style IPA. It's bright, bursting with hop fruitiness, and refreshingly dry. Crack one open and get ready to feel those weekend vibes. Scoring 89 out of 100 from Beer Advocate, this is Weekend Vibes IPA.
Give it a sip, going with the IPA again this week. How are you liking it?
It's very hoppy.
Is it too hoppy?
It's too hoppy. I think my next box from Tap Room will be nothing but lagers, pilsners, and sours. I will put that, I will start curating that box now.
Good call. Brian, I am excited about my drink of the week. I was in are you excited?
I'm excited about your drink of the week.
So I was up in upstate New York this weekend. The Wegmans up there has a ridiculously good craft beer selection. So I was able to snag for myself from Captain Lawrence Brewing Company out of Elmsford, New York, their limited edition collaboration with Carvel. It's Fudgy the Beer. This stout style ale is made with the Carvel legendary chocolate crunchies, fudge, and ice cream. This is the second year that I believe they've been doing this. It clocks in at 6%, scoring 85% from Beer Advocate. So close to your Weekend Vibes IPAs. But take a look at that pour. Got a nice dark body to it. So let's see if this is worthy of the Carvel name.
Oh, that is so dark. That is such a dark beer.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, walk me through it. What flavors are you tasting? When it enters your mouth, what do you taste? When you swallow it, what are the after notes?
It is chocolatey. You're definitely getting the chocolate notes. You are getting the creaminess from the ice cream. You're getting the fudge. This is one of the few beers I can say actually tastes like what they are trying to emulate. The Fudgy the Whale Cake from Carvel, from your participating Carvel ice cream dealer. And is there really anything better than the Carvel chocolate crunchies?
Well, obviously the rest of the cake.
Well, yeah, true, true.
Right?
Yes. Were you more of a Fudgy the Whale man or a Cookie Puss man?
I was happy with whatever anybody put in front of me. Not going to lie. I was, it wasn't one or the other.
Okay. You're not a ice cream snob is what you're telling me.
Oh no. I am a happy little kid. If you put ice cream cake in front of me.
And especially again, with the crunchies inside of it, like just a plain Carvel sheet cake with the chocolate crunchies on the inside, a little vanilla, a little chocolate, a little frosting makes for some good stuff. But again, if you are able to get the Captain Lawrence Fudgy the Beer, I would highly recommend you pick up a 4-pack of this.
Fudgy the Beer. When did they go down to 4-packs? I'm sorry. Maybe I'm just an old curmudgeon, but I remember 6-packs of beer. Now, 4.
What I think has happened is there has been, and again, you have to blame everything on COVID these days. Breweries are having a very hard time getting 12-ounce aluminum cans. So a lot of the microbreweries have been forced to shift to 16-ounce cans. And therefore, I think they feel if they do a 6-pack of 16-ounce cans, the price point may be too high for the consumer. Got it. So they're doing the 4-pack.
See, my personal problem is the 12-ounce can fit perfectly in my rectum. Like, no, it was a little bit of a grunt upon, stretching out the muscle. But right. These 16-ounce cans, they hurt. It's not a comfortable fit anymore.
You know what you need, my friend? Practice. A little bit of knowledge I just threw at you there. All right. Coming up next, it's This Week in Racism.
This week in
Racism.
So a slightly lighter week in racism this week, but still close to a couple of pages of stories. So let's dive right into this. With a study conducted by researchers at the University of Chicago and University of California, Berkeley, which found that applicants with, quote, distinctively Black names have a 2.1% less chance of getting contacted for an interview compared to white-sounding names. The study was based on more than 83,000 entry-level job applications to 108 Fortune 500 companies in the United States. San Diego, California attorney John Pittman III said he experienced banking while Black at Bank of America in Pacific Beach last year when he tried to cash a $12,000 insurance settlement check only to have the bank's assistant manager refuse him service, accuse him of trying to steal, and pretend to call the authorities to get him to leave the bank. The issue stemmed from the third, at the end of his name, missing from the check. A Geico representative attempted to clear up the mistake over the phone, but the assistant manager accused the insurance company employee of being a friend of Mr. Pittman. Last Sunday, police in Alpharetta, Georgia, were called to the home of Travis Moya because he was reportedly having a mental health crisis. After his wife called 911 for assistance, instead of an ambulance, 8 police officers showed up, slammed him to the ground, placed him in handcuffs, and then set a police dog on him, severely injuring Moya's arm and shoulder. The Moya family has retained a lawyer and will be filing a lawsuit against the police department. Patrick Moster, the German Cycling Federation sporting director, has been unceremoniously dismissed from the Tokyo Olympics after a microphone caught him using racial slurs during Wednesday's time trials. I will now butcher a few names here. German cyclist Nikias Arndt was trailing behind Emmanuel Gebretsebir of Eritrea and Azzedine Lagab of Algeria, resulting in Moster yelling, quote, "get the camel drivers," multiple times. Last weekend in Cold Spring, Minnesota, Benton Bear reportedly rammed a stolen SUV into an interracial couple's house in an allegedly racially motivated attack. Police say he exited the vehicle in front of the home after placing a large slab of granite on the gas pedal and that there was a teddy bear in a noose hanging inside the car. The couple, Andrea and Philippe Robinson, said that Bear has been stalking and harassing them for some time. He made his first court appearance Tuesday after being charged with felony counts of auto theft, stalking, and property damage. Aurora Police Department officers John Hobart and Francine Martinez turned themselves in to the authorities after being accused of crimes related to the violent arrest of a black man. The officers were taking Kyle Vinson into custody on a felony warrant. Despite the fact that Vinson had his hands up and was not resisting, he was choked, pistol whipped, and had his face shoved into the ground by Hobart, as shown in footage taken from his body camera. Hobart has since resigned his position and is now facing three felony charges of attempted first-degree assault, second-degree assault, and menacing, as well as misdemeanor charges of official oppression and official misconduct. Martinez is facing a misdemeanor charge for failing to intervene in the violent arrest. Aurora is the same town where the unarmed Elijah McClain died in 2019 after police restrained him in a carotid hold and administered ketamine following a 911 call of a suspicious person. In Traverse City, Michigan, white high school students were caught in a private Snapchat group engaging in a mock slave auction where they discussed how much they would sell and buy their black classmates for. The Snapchat group, titled Slave Trade, also saw a student share the messages, "All blacks should die," and "Let's start another Holocaust." This resulted in the fast-tracking of a school equity resolution that condemned racism and vowed Traverse City area public schools would better educate its overwhelmingly white student body and teaching staff on how to live in a diverse country. Not surprisingly, that resulted in a number of white parents pushing back against the resolution, calling it critical race theory. A Greek sports TV commentator was canned Tuesday after making a shocking on-air comment about the shape of a South Korean Olympic athlete's eyes. Demosthenes Karmiris was reporting for...
What was that name again?
Demosthenes Karmiris was reporting for ERT Television.
I think you've got the name wrong. Just try it one more time. One more time, please.
Demosthenes Karmiris was reporting for ERT Television when he was asked about the skill of South Korean table tennis players, to which he responded, quote, "Their eyes are so narrow, so I can't understand how they can see the ball moving back and forth."
Wow!
ERT later announced that they had parted ways with the veteran announcer. An indigenous woman went to TikTok to showcase what she characterized as a racist call to the police by a white man concerned that he was witnessing a crime. Specifically, he thought the TikToker was stealing from a car, but it was actually from the car that belonged to her. The video is from TikToker at Tanaya Swampy and included a second part when the man, once he learned who the car actually belonged to, falsely telling the police that his car had been hit so she couldn't leave the scene. And finally, a black woman delivering hair products to her clients at a local park in Sacramento was accused of selling drugs by a white woman in a recent video that has since gone viral. Ronnie Marie Pava, the owner of Marie's Luxury Hair Extensions, was making a delivery to her client while on her bicycle when she was stopped and questioned by an unidentified woman who said the transaction, quote, "looks like a drug deal." The white woman insists that everyone in the area is worried about the girl on the bike dealing drugs. That's when Pava instructed her to call the authorities. The woman said she preferred not to call the cops, but warned Pava that someone else might. White people, Brian.
Right.
So that was actually a quick This Week in Racism. I think we cranked that out in a little under 8 minutes.
Okay.
All right. Which I know you like when we keep it short.
You know me, I'm all about wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Enough with the racism. Let's get on with the show.
All right. Well, let's get on then with Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
I've had a rough week.
Okay.
I've had some struggles. Personal.
Right.
Professional.
Okay.
Ethical.
Right.
Moral.
As always.
Emotional.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you the one thing that's bothering me the most.
What is that?
The people who have not subscribed to our Patreon.
Whoa. It hurts.
Okay. they are missing out on so much incredible content that I feel that these are the willingly ignorant walking the streets of this country, of this world, when it would be so easy for them to sign up. We have multiple different levels that they could come on in at, as low as what are our tiers? $5 is the aluminum tier.
Yes.
And what does that get you? What does that get you? It gets you so much.
Well, I guess people will just have to go to ronandbrianpodcast.com and find out exactly what that gets you.
And the thing that really bothered me was last week we had our monthly pajama party,
right,
where our Patreons are invited to come on to join us to be part of the show. Thank you. Thank you, William Esquire. Match Game was something I had I put some effort into. I know, Ron, you'd like to think that I...
No, you were on any last week.
But Match Game, I mean, so basically our Patreons were able to come on. They competed against each other. Ron was the celebrity guest, you could call it.
I guess.
So what did we have? We had 10 questions. I'm going to give you just a couple samples of the types of lines that people had to try to match with Ron. Here's one. Alfred just invented a talking scale. When his 300-pound wife gets on, it yells blank. Here's another one. Giovanni said, I knew Stella was the girl from the moment I smelled her. She was wearing that perfume that smelled just like blank. I mean, this is the kind of fun stuff that we have week in, week out. Not a lot of money. $5 gets you the ability to listen to on audio. $10 gets you the video gets you the video file. It also allows you, every week you receive a link, you can stream live with us. $10 a month, $250 a week. That is not even a coffee at Starbucks. People, you're missing out.
There you go.
I mean, everybody says we want to hear Ron get more sexual. Ron doesn't get sexual enough during the podcast. You know what, people? He does during After Dark.
After Dark, yes. That's when we save that saucy material for.
Ron?
Yes.
What's bothering you?
So my beef this week, Brian, is with people that stay in hotels that are inconsiderate to other people staying in those hotels. So
okay.
I mentioned I was up in Syracuse this weekend visiting the family, staying in a hotel up there. And on Friday night, woken up multiple times between midnight and 2 a.m. With people in the hallways being loud, lots of shenanigans going on. Speaking with the general manager the next day, he was telling me how he had to kick multiple rooms out, call the police because people would not leave. It's an extension of how horrible people are treating service industry folks. They're renting hotel suites. They're having parties with 40, 50 people in there. Threatening the hotel staff. It's just not cool. Just not cool.
So I have a question. Where did this take place? And I guess my real question is, are these kids? Are these college kids? Are these adults? Are these trash adults. People?
These are young adults, not college kids, mm-hmm. but, adults renting rooms, throwing parties. Yeah.
That's when you know that we have gotten old because we used to be those kids.
We did.
Making noise, not caring, just being loud, living in the moment, having fun. And now we're the people that sit there and say, ooh, there's probably somebody sleeping right now. I'm just gonna turn my music down a little bit.
Respectful, Brian. Respectful to those people. Again, we talk about the social contract. It's about being respectful to the people around you.
It has fallen apart during this pandemic. Now, the question I have for you is, was this upstate New York? Was this upstate New York?
Yes,
now, do you feel that this has something to do with the college town that you were staying in? Or was this?
This is an issue that we are seeing in various parts of the industry. It's an ongoing issue.
Have you started to provide tasers to the staff?
I don't believe we're allowed to actually tase our guests.
What happened to the idea of body cams?
For hotel employees, I don't think that has been pushed through at this point.
You know, we spoke about body cams well over a year ago.
Maybe two years ago,
I remember saying that everybody should have a body cam on them at all times.
I believe that was more for, all people. Yes, you did say all
people.
You're correct, so I apologize.
Yes, it should start with the first responders, and then it should go to all humans with a live streaming feed of our body cams available on patreon.com/Ron and Brian Podcast.
All right. Speaking of that social contract falling apart, we are continuing to see that, and that is why we had gotten away from covering COVID stories. But COVID is back with a vengeance. The Delta variant taking hold, cases spiking in states, deaths on the rise again, stupidity flowing through a number of areas of the country. We're going to start, however, in Tennessee with Pastor Greg Locke. He's got a church there, Global Vision Bible Church. Last week, he said that if his parishioners start to show up with masks, that he will ask people to leave. A statement which was followed.
That's very Christian of him.
Yes,
I'm sure Jesus would have said, "Hey, that fucker back there's got a mask on. Get him the fuck out of my house of worship, piece of shit."
And then he doubled down. So last week he had a 5-minute diatribe where he denied the existence of the Delta variant. We've talked about Tennessee, how the GOP controlled legislator is now not providing vaccination information to any of the schools there. How low the vaccination rates are. Pastor Locke, he doubled down this week. Let's hear what he had to say.
The Delta variant was nonsense then. It is nonsense now. You will not wear masks in this church. You will not wear masks in this church. I'm telling you right now, do not get vaccinated. Do not get vaccinated. I don't care what you think about me. I don't need your money. I don't need your hand clap. I don't need more people on social media to follow me. I ain't following along with it. Joe Biden's days are numbered. I said they're numbered. I've told you the whole time this election was fraudulent. We got so much proof. The only people that can deny it are crack-smoking, demon-possessed leftists. Oh, I'm about to tear his whole pulpit in half.
So, yeah.
I did not realize that pastors smoked crack and did several lines of cocaine at the beginning of every service.
Well, first off, I think my favorite part of the video is the fact that he's yelling about not getting vaccinated while he stands in front of, I guess they must have a band there because there's a drum kit there, surrounded with a Home Depot's worth of plexiglass. So clearly the drummer is like, no, you're a moron. I'm gonna hide back here and try and keep away from the Delta variant. This is the frustrating. Yeah, this
is America.
This is not America. Religion. This is right wing idolatry posing as Catholicism. And should they just have their tax exemption taken away if they're just going to continue to make statements against the public health and against politics?
Well, exactly. Once they start bringing politics into the mix and telling people, fucking hell, I don't even know where to start with that guy. I mean, holy fuck, that's not church.
No,
that's a political event.
And I feel bad for. I actually feel bad Jews? For his congregation.
Well,
I feel bad for his congregation that clearly has been suckered into this, probably in good intention, saying, I want to go to church. I want to be a good person. I want to be a God-fearing person. And this church has morphed into whatever this is. And again, Greg Locke has been an asshole for a number of years now. But now he's just dangerous with telling people not to wear masks in a state with one of the lowest vaccination rates. I think it was in the low 30%. I think they're saying at this point they won't reach proper immunity levels until next March. And he's just saying, hey, you know what? If you want to come to church, don't come to my church and wear a mask because I'll kick you out.
I hope that the people that follow him all contract the Delta variant. I hope they all get very sick. And I would not be, I would have no issues if they all drop dead. He's basically Jim Jonesing them.
Pretty much.
He's Jim Jones.
You got it right. Very good. I mean, anyone under 50 is probably not going to get the reference, but you got Jim Jones correct. But again, this is in a state that recently reported that 98% of all people that died from COVID recently and 97% of COVID hospitalizations are unvaccinated.
And he's saying, you know what? I feel
don't wear a mask.
At this point, the only people I genuinely feel bad for are the staff that work in medical facilities, nurses, doctors in emergency rooms and ICUs who are treating people that do not need to be sick right now, but because of the behavior that they exhibited, because of the choices and decisions that they made, are now sick from a disease that could have been mitigated by having received the Moderna shot.
The gold standard.
Yes. Now, I believe this is still Tennessee. Yes. So we are continuing to see more GOP legislators believe in the vaccine and taking COVID seriously, but only if it impacts them or their loved ones. We're talking about State Representative David Byrd, who told people after, you know, last year he's attending unmasked gatherings with fellow legislators. And ends up on a ventilator days later. Mm-hmm. You know, last year he attended this event that we actually spoke about on the podcast. So Representative David Byrd, he was on a ventilator for 55 days, ended up needing a liver transplant in June, and his family more than one time began to plan his funeral. So now he's like, well, you know what? COVID-19 is very dangerous, and we shouldn't let this issue divide us. So yes. For a year, he wanted this issue to divide us. And now that it impacted him, and he nearly died, now he's, let's take it seriously.
Yep.
He voted for a resolution last June that accused the mainstream media of sensationalizing pandemic coverage.
Fuck him.
What else do we have here? Oh, we've got so this guy, he was actually on Chris Cuomo's show the other day. This is a restaurant in Huntington Beach. It's Basilico's Pasta e Vino Italian restaurant. And they have put up signs in their windows saying that they are only allowing people in that can provide proof that they are unvaccinated. Because apparently,
what kind of proof can one show that they are unvaccinated?
Well, apparently, customers won't actually have to produce proof that they're unvaccinated, since the only official documentation is if you actually have gotten the shots. But the owner of the restaurant, Tony Roman, told a newspaper in an email that he was fighting quote unquote tyrants and that he has zero tolerance for treasonous anti-American stupidity.
Treasonous.
Yes.
Have we watered down the very meaning of the word treason?
I believe so.
Because I thought the people that stormed the Capitol on January 6th, they came close to treason.
That was more of an insurgency than treason, I believe.
Those people were just polite visitors into the building.
They were touring the Capitol. It's a public building.
But to tell people that they should get vaccinated is treasonous? Fuck.
And again, this is in California. The same state that is now reporting an average of nearly 5,000 new coronaviruses a day, more than four times the number from just 1 month ago. Okay. Orange County, where this restaurant is located, only about 55% of the people in that county have been fully vaccinated.
Fuck. So not good.
Another sad story. I mean, we hate to tell these stories, but I think, you know, these are teachable moments, Brian. Wouldn't you say?
Teachable moment.
So a Nevada woman is sharing her family's heartbreak after her fiance expressed regret about not getting the COVID-19 vaccine shortly before dying from the disease. Michael Friede, age 39, apparently wanted to wait until the vaccine had been available for a year to see how it might affect people. But shortly after he and his fiance, they traveled to San Diego for a vacation with their five kids, ages 1 to 17. Freely apparently fell ill from a bad sunburn and had to enter an ER. From there, he tested positive for COVID and things went downhill. He contracted pneumonia in both of his lungs. He had to be placed on a ventilator and forcefully sedated. His fiance said that his last text to her was, "I should have gotten the damn vaccine."
Yep. Regret.
Yes, exactly. So since then, his fiance, Jessica Dupreez, has since gotten her first shot of the vaccine, and her oldest child has gotten that as well.
And with that one, depending on did the article say whether she received Moderna,
the gold standard,
or whether she received Pfizer?
It does not say, but one would hope. You know, again, this being a teachable moment, that she would have, you know, in getting the vaccine, gotten the best one.
Which is Moderna.
The gold standard. Any other?
Pfizer's a close second.
It's okay. Yeah. I mean,
I don't want people who got Pfizer to feel inadequate. I don't want them to feel less than. But statistically, and this is true in every report I have read, and let's be honest, we have monitored this pandemic very closely. Every report I've seen, it's very clear that the statistics are backing the fact that Moderna,
the gold standard,
is the champagne of COVID vaccines.
Yes. Finally here, producers of Broadway shows are adjusting their reopening plans that they're now going to require all audience members, as well as anyone working at the theaters, to be vaccinated. Brian, your thoughts?
I'm conflicted, though I know exactly what side I'm coming down on. I do feel that people have a right to decide whether they want to get vaccinated or not. I believe that there should be consequences to those decisions, regardless of what side you fall upon. There's no such thing as a 100% on any conundrum, if you would. However, I am perfectly okay with a private organization that is not dependent on government funds in any way to make a decision as to who they want to allow and who they don't, especially when it comes to public health matters. If you remember, and I try to be consistent about this, regardless of how repugnant it is, I was in favor of the small town bakeries that did not want to make a cake for a homosexual wedding. I was perfectly fine with that. I believe a private business should be allowed to do that. And I also believe that everybody in that neighborhood that doesn't agree with those with that viewpoint should absolutely support a competitive bakery and to put the bigoted bakery out of business. In this case, I absolutely think that it is perfectly fine for a Broadway theater to say, we are only allowing vaccinated people in. However, I would like to take it a step further and say that what we should do is not only not allow people who have Johnson & Johnson and that mock shot that they get, what I would like to call the control group or placebo. But I also believe that we should have Pfizer only and Moderna only Broadway theaters. Clearly, the better shows end on Moderna.
The gold standard.
Well, in the meantime, if you are planning on going to Broadway as it reopens, in addition to being vaccinated, you will be required to wear a mask inside the theater at all times, except when eating or drinking. If you have children under the age of 12 who are not yet eligible for the vaccines, or you are a person with a medical condition or religious belief that prevents vaccination, you will need to present proof of a negative COVID-19 PCR test taken within 72 hours of the performance.
Wait a second. So they're letting unvaccinated people in?
If they can produce a negative COVID test, yes.
God damn it. I thought it was only people who were vaccinated. Well, again, that is a false headline.
Again, if for a medical reason or a religious reason they can't do it, those individuals will need to provide the negative COVID.
So anybody can just say, oh, I have a religious exemption. Here's my test.
I mean, they could say that because that gets tough to prove. But at the end of the day, they still have to provide the negative COVID test.
Which is why I say we should have a Moderna-only Broadway theater, only the best of plays for the best vaccine.
All right. Brian, talk to me about New Jersey and what's going on there this week.
Listen, we all know how much of a fan I am of the Garden State. This past week, Governor Murphy.
Yes.
Dale Murphy. Governor Dale Murphy announced in New Jersey that they are going to be renaming the rest stops on the Garden State Parkway after inductees into the New Jersey Hall of Fame. So there are about 9 different rest stops on this highway. They are now going to be renamed, and here are the people in New Jersey that they've named them after. James Gandolfini.
Okay.
Who did one good role.
Okay.
Prove me wrong. What else did he do other than that was noteworthy? Well, Larry Doby, service area in Brookdale North. Who is Larry Doby?
No idea.
Connie Chung.
All right.
A rest stop named after Connie Chung?
Why not?
Don't get me wrong. She was America's sweetheart for all those young boys growing up who did not realize they had an Asian fetish. I'm not saying, you know, but that's who Connie Chung really spoke to. I don't know that she deserves her own rest stop name. Then we've got the Whitney Houston service area in Val Hall.
You can't have any argument against that.
Well, will they be smoking crack in the bathroom?
Go on.
John Bon Jovi in Cheesequake, New Jersey. That will be the name of the new service area. The John Bon Jovi service area in Cheesequake, New Jersey.
Is it named Cheesequake? I feel that's not the name.
That is the town. Cheesequake, New Jersey. Prove me wrong. Oh, Larry Doby was the first black player in the American League. Thank you, William Esquire. That actually helped the show. Then we've got Judy Blume, service area in Monmouth. Now, I'm not sure what your reference point to Judy Blume was, but she taught me about girls' periods.
Okay. I think she taught a lot of people about that.
And I did not learn much from it. Going into sex ed, I realized that I learned a heck of a lot more in school than reading one of my older sister's Judy Blume book. Then in Forked River, New Jersey, we're going to have the Celia Cruz service area.
Celia, that one I'm drawing a blank on as well. Who is Celia Cruz?
Singer.
Okay.
Can we get a, anyone? Anyone?
Could be.
Bueller? All right. Bueller? In Atlantic, New Jersey, Frank Sinatra service station.
Oh, come on. That's a given. You can't have it. You can't have an issue with the chairman of the board getting his own rep. No.
That man is a god. Then in Ocean View, we have Toni Morrison service area. Ooh. American poet laureate, yep. Toni Morrison. And the list is suspiciously missing one person's name, one person from New Jersey that everybody thinks of when they think of
New Jersey.
Would that be, Joe Piscopo?
Nope.
Then I don't know. I'm drawing a blank.
The Boss.
Oh, Bruce Springsteen. Bruce. He doesn't get a rest stop named after him?
Apparently, New Jersey does not feel that the boss is warranted for a rest stop. Because when I need to go take a dump after eating Taco Bell at the John Bon Jovi's rest stop in Cheese Quick, New Jersey, and I need to take a dump, I want to go to the Bruce Springsteen service stop. Have you ever taken a dump at a rest stop? The answer is probably yes.
Apparently, Springsteen said he did not want a rest stop named after him.
Sure, of course, because he's classy, because he actually is the only thing about New Jersey that's not New Jersey.
Do you think it's because he got that DWI, that false DWI in New Jersey? And he's like, you know what? Screw you, New Jersey. I don't want a rest stop named after me now.
Bruce Springsteen gets a state park named after him. That park that he was arrested in should be renamed after him, not a rest stop where people are debating whether to get Sparrows or McDonald's while they just smell their fingers as after they walked out of the bathroom.
Well, Brian, I think the only state you have more disdain for than the state of New Jersey is the state of Florida. Would that be correct? And so, but the state of Florida, shockingly enough, there is a new snake appearing, referred to as the penis snake.
We are
throwing a picture of that up on the screen right now. If you're listening to this podcast, this is why you should turn into YouTube, Facebook, or Twitch. So this is...
Normally this is something we would hold back for After Dark.
Right.
I've seen that in several movies. I did not know that this type of snake was used in adult sex movies. I had no idea.
So this is a Caecilian. Also known as a penis snake. They had captured a 2-foot-long one of these near Miami International Airport. They couldn't keep it alive. It died of starvation.
Did it die of starvation because they extracted it off of Lexington Steele's body?
I'm not sure, but it confirmed, DNA analysis confirmed that it was a Caecilian. This is a virtually blind, legless amphibian that typically resides in the jungles of South America and Asian, primarily in Venezuela and Colombia. Has never been observed in the U.S. before.
That's not true. I observed it once. One time I was coming home from a Yankee game. I was on the 4-5 going down Lexington Avenue. A man got on at 125th Street, took his pants off, and I saw one of these snakes.
Okay. Even though these can grow up to 5 feet long, this creature does not pose a threat to humans, except maybe Brian when he's coming home from a Yankees game.
By the way, if you rub the tip of it enough times, a little white stuff comes out.
Good to know. Also this week, we had a scare with one of our favorite actors, Bob Odenkirk, being rushed to the hospital.
Bobby O.
Set of Better Call Saul recording its final season with what is being referred to as, a heart incident?
A heart event.
Heart event.
A slight heart event, which to me, I don't know how the fuck that's not called a heart attack now. Now everything has to be renamed, hence the delicate public gets the wrong idea.
I mean, maybe it wasn't a heart attack. Maybe it was a heart murmur. Maybe it was a arrhythmia. Maybe it was angina. Could have been a lot of different things.
We just saw a penis snake. Now you're talking about anginas. We're going to have the sex trifecta in a couple of minutes when we start talking about butt stuff.
Hey-o. What else we got? Celebrity obituaries. We lost a few. Former Slipknot drummer Joey Jordison, dead at the age of 46. Were you a Slipknot fan, Brian?
No. Okay. No, I always felt that it was a metal band for garbage people. You know what it was? It was the people that had listened to Korn and Limp Bizkit and whatnot, but suddenly felt like they wanted to listen to stuff that was like a little bit more heavier or whatnot. They all went to Slipknot.
Well, apparently Jordanson was dismissed from the band in 2013. He was apparently diagnosed with transverse myelitis, a neurological condition that left him unable to play. No word if that condition contributed to his passing, as he died in his sleep Monday, again, at the age of 46. Another musician that we lost here, Dusty Hill, the ZZ Top bassist, passing away at the age of 72. His death announced by bandmates Billy Gibbons and Frank Beard.
Real shame. I can't say that I was a huge ZZ Top fan. I know a lot about them in the sense that I watched MTV when their videos came out. They were really the ones that introduced me to the idea of enjoying women with long legs.
ZZ Top, a little bit of Ron and Brian trivia for you. The very first concert I ever saw live was ZZ Top on the Eliminator Tour back in the late 80s.
Get out of here.
Performing Arts Center.
SPAC
on the lawn. Actually, I had seats inside for that one. They had spinning guitars. They had, you know, everything that you saw from the videos they had on the stage show.
Now, do you know if he was touring with them up to this point? Because I saw a couple of videos on Instagram. It looks like ZZ Top is still touring now.
They are still touring. He had apparently suffered a hip injury recently. That's why he hadn't been in their most recent concert. But prior to that injury, he was still performing with them.
So he was not on tour with them. Got it. What did he pass away of again?
I don't know that his cause of death was released yet.
COVID. I'm going to grade this one a B+.
Are you? All right. For you, you're very strict with your grading. Well, if you're grading that a B+, what would you have graded Joey Jordanson?
Oh, I'm going to say that he is a B-.
Okay.
And in my personal world, C at best, but I understand that Slipknot is a huge band, I respect that.
All right. Prolific Native American actor Saginaw Grant of The Lone Ranger and also Breaking Bad passing away on Wednesday from natural causes at the age of 85. He was also in The World's Fastest Indian, had a stint on the 93 CBS series Heart of the West. Played a truck driver in the Ozymandias episode of AMC's Breaking Bad.
I remember him. He was good. He was a great actor. The role that he had in Spartacus, I believe, the defining moment in his career, him and Kirk Douglas have that famous fight scene. His dramatic range really was captured in that movie.
All right. And then finally, Ruth Pearl, mother of murdered journalist Daniel Pearl, at the age of 85. She had, after her son was kidnapped by Islamic militants back in 2002 and beheaded, she pushed for justice for her son. A very sad story.
Did you watch the video of him getting beheaded? I know we've talked about this before.
Yes, I did.
He was a game changer when it came to the internet. That video was the first mainstream internet murder. Everybody, and when I say everybody, meaning me, ran to the internet to try to find a website that would be willing to host the video of Daniel Pearl reading his statement and then getting his head sliced. Is that really the right phrase?
I would say so.
That
was on ogrish.com. Remember that website.
Did I love Ogrish? Wow, that is a blast from the past. Whatever happened to that website?
I mean, I think eventually it just got taken down because of the content it was sharing.
Oh,
I felt the dark web to find that kind of stuff.
Oh, I love the fact that it literally had everything that was great, and then they would pay their bills, they would slip in a porn link.
just to throw that in there every now and then.
So it would just be like a video of somebody on like in a Brazilian favela getting their kneecaps destroyed with a hammer, followed up by a woman in Thailand being attacked by four of her co-workers with knives and machetes. And then it would be a link about a poor girl who fell asleep at a frat house and the party ensued. Click link. And then sometimes you would click the wrong link and you would be watching this poor girl at a frat party, but it looked like she was a porn star because you had seen her in a couple other videos online. But I feel like I am giving too much information about myself and things are just starting to get weird.
A little bit. Big stories of the past week, Simone Biles over at the Tokyo Olympics opting to remove herself from the team competition and has also been removing herself from the individual competitions as well. Initially, you know, it was uncertain as to whether it was a mental health issue or a medical issue. It came out later after she made the announcement that it was more of a mental issue, something called twisties that she has gotten in the past. Which causes it to actually be dangerous for her to perform some of these routines as she kind of loses her bearing when doing some of these twisting jumps and vaults and motions that she does.
Now, is that related in any way to Twisties, which the major adult film studio that produces its own content, Twisties.com?
I don't believe it has anything to do with that at all. So people have definitely been coming down on both sides of this issue, some praising her for, you know, having the wherewithal to remove herself from a potentially dangerous system, dangerous situation, knowing, you know, that it's on the highest stage of all, and others mocking her and deriding her for leaving the competition. Brian, where do you fall in all this?
I fall in the middle.
Okay.
Which is that it's once again another example in this country where people are defining this as a binary moment, meaning you can either hail her as an American hero for the importance of mental health, or you are allowed to bash her as a embarrassing quitter, and that you're not allowed to have a gray area. You're not allowed to see a little bit of both sides. I absolutely believe that if she physically can't do the job of gymnastics, therefore she should step down. The story started off as mental health and then seems to have switched to, what is it, a neurological disorder?
No, it's
where
it's
your equilibrium's off.
It's not a neurological disorder. It is more of a mental thing. You know, think of it like the yips in golf, where you just can't, you know, where you just can't focus on, you know, completing a putt or a drive. It literally is a case of, you know, where, and it's not just her. It's other gymnasts have talked about this, where, you know, you have trouble figuring out where your body is in relation to the ground when you're in the air. And obviously at the speed and height that some of these routines are going on, that can obviously be very dangerous.
So this is like Chuck Knoblauch not being able to throw from second to first.
Exactly. Very similar to that.
Why is it that we mocked Chuck Knoblauch back in the late 90s, but somehow we're expected to put her up on a pedestal?
Well, again, I don't know that we're expecting her to be put up on a pedestal, but I think we are more aware of the struggles of athletes with mental health than we were back when we were cursing Chuck Knoblauch as Yankee fans back in the 90s.
This is my issue, is the fact that I went on Reddit earlier this week and I called her a quitter, and the backlash that I received. No, just kidding. But this is the thing. Is it mental health or does she have some type of disorder going on here? Albeit temporary. Like, mental health. Said, like Naomi Osaka.
Yes, you got the name right.
Oh, like Naomi Osaka backed out of Wimbledon just recently. And she said it was for mental health disorder, that the pressure of performing at this on a world stage was too much, and she wasn't up for it at the moment. I actually sat there and was like, okay, she's allowed, you know, that, and people should not bash her for it. But this does not sound like mental health. This sounds like she physically cannot suddenly coordinate her body with her brain, and therefore is likely to hurt herself if she were to go out there and compete.
I mean, I think because it is, it's a mental block, basically. So I think because it's a mental block that causes a physical issue, that's why people are referring to this as kind of a mental health issue. But as Simone Biles said, you know, physical health is mental health.
Okay. I'm not saying that it's not. Right. I'm just saying that it sounds to me not like she's depressed. It doesn't sound like to me she's got anxiety. It sounds to me like she jumps off of the high beam and while twisting and turning loses her way and doesn't land on her feet.
Again, I think that's the case. You can argue, I think, whether it's a physical ailment or whether it's a mental ailment. But again, you know, it definitely has created a lot of comments on both sides of it. Michael Che under fire now for some Simone Biles jokes that he made over the weekend, and then tried to say that his Instagram account was hacked, which never works. Never works.
No. But do you think he meant it, or do you think he was mocking others that said it?
I think he was probably mocking others that said it.
Sounds about right. Have you ever had your social media account hacked?
I have had attempts to hack my social media previously.
And I failed every time.
I had an ex-girlfriend attempt to hack my Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
And you're saying to yourself, Ron, how do you know it was your ex-girlfriend? Because Facebook sent me an email saying, you know, someone tried to change your password, but they couldn't. And here is the city and state that the password change attempt came from. And it was the exact location of where her parents lived, and she was staying with her parents at the time. So you kind of put two and two together in a situation like that.
What is going, obviously, I am assuming you don't have an answer, but what is going through the mind of someone that says, I want to hack into somebody else's Facebook account?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know.
What are they? Are they planning on reaching out to people you're connected with to be like, you know, I like to wear diapers and I'm a sissy boy, just broad message everyone? Are they looking to see like who are you messaging? Like on this, like I don't get it. What's the end game?
Is I had blocked her on Facebook at that point. And so I think it probably was just a situation where she was trying to see what was going on in my life at that point. Listen, when women get a taste of Ron, it is very tough when they lose that.
Don't limit it to just women, Ron. I can't quit you. How many times have you threatened to do a podcast with somebody else? And I just say, I will not. I could not be okay sharing you with a different podcast partner.
It happens, you know.
Do you want to talk about Dave Hill?
We can talk about Dave Hill. Very exciting news. As you know, friend of the podcast, Dave Hill, a quintuple threat, actor, musician, singer, comedian, artist. We are pleased to announce we'll be doing a very special comedy set in my living room here in Elkins Park, Pennsylvania. What is the date on that?
I believe you said that was October 19th, a Friday.
Let me just double check and make sure of that. It is actually Friday, October 22nd. Doors at 7. Showtime is at 8 o'clock. Tickets will be available on Eventbrite for $20 a head. But again, this is
and that money is just to offset the cost of putting on this event. This is not something you are looking to make money off of.
We're not going to make money. We will probably still lose a little money, but this is a little something we want to do for the people. So again, $20 a ticket. We are absorbing the Eventbrite fees for you, so it's just a flat $20. This is a vaccinated only show. Obviously, we prefer the Moderna vaccine.
The gold standard.
But we will accept those with the lesser vaccines as well.
The shit standard.
And again, much like Broadway, if you have religious exemptions or medical exemptions, we will just require a COVID-19 PCR negative test within 72 hours.
No. We are not allowing unvaccinated people, regardless of religious status. If you are unvaccinated, you are not allowed in Ron's living room. You have not earned that privilege.
I mean, it is a
get the private. Fuck out of here.
All right. So vaccinated only. Brian has put the gauntlet down. So we will be sharing that Eventbrite link.
It will be a true, fully vaccinated event.
Yes, and we will share the actual address with ticket holders prior to the show date. Again, all you need to know right now, it's in Elkins Park, PA, right outside of Philadelphia.
Ron?
Yes.
Will you be doing any stand-up that night?
You never know what might happen. We will definitely have a meet and greet with the host of the Ron and Brian podcast. You don't know what else might be happening.
Ron does stand-up.
He's concerned about excessive cat hair. I'm a little insulted by that. Brian, you have been to my home many times. What is one thing you can say about this house?
That house is immaculate. I have never seen any type of excessive animal hair. There is sometimes an excessive amount of animals, but they are all very adorable. And for the most part, they avoid you. So Ron may have seven cats, but only two actually will come out and look at you or interact with you. The other five will hide underneath beds.
Well, and six, we had to say goodbye to one.
Guacamole?
No, Loki.
Loki, I remember Loki.
Had a little heart condition.
Star of the, and didn't you name him after the future Marvel Universe, Megaverse Universe thingy?
I did not. I just named him after the actual Greek god, not the cartoon, not the Marvel character.
Speaking of which, Ron.
Yes.
What are you watching?
You know what? I am. I didn't really watch too much this week. There is a new bad tattoo cover-up show on Netflix. I forget the exact name of it, but I watched an episode of it today, and it wasn't that great. But I do have to say, I did rewatch. I had watched it a couple weeks back. I Think You Should Leave, season two, the sketch show by Tim Robinson.
You love that guy. He was always a little weird for me. Yeah.
I understand. Not everybody's cup of tea. Brian, right. What are you watching?
Oh, I'm working my way through Succession season two on HBO Max.
All right.
I think I have about two or three episodes left. It is like a modern day Dallas, which take out the oil industry, take out the Texas twang of Larry Hagman, and suddenly you've got a faux Murdoch family, Fox News empire, the drama, the backstabbing. It's quite entertaining. I'm enjoying it. Also, and I highly recommend this to anybody listening or watching live right now, Woodstock 99, the documentary on HBO, I knocked out in one sit. It is not it's not a series. It is just a hour and 55 minute movie. It is about the debacle of the concert that destroyed the Woodstock name. Obviously, they did a Woodstock in 1969. Free love. Then they came back 25 years later with Woodstock 94. Headliners being Green Day and Nine Inch Nails. Good use. And then they decided, hey, listen, let's make some money. Let's do this on an Air Force base in upstate New York. And fucking love that soundbite. And this time it literally was they could not have made a more an ever-longing list of bad decisions. Instead of holding it on campgrounds, they literally took over a military base where everybody was fenced in. There was inadequate supplies, according to many. The choice of the musical roster was not mixed as it had been on previously the Woodstocks. It was very aggro-centric.
Okay.
It's a term somebody had used, which I thought was very clever. But you had bands like Korn and Limp Bizkit. Now, people may be mocking Korn and Limp Bizkit right now in 2021, but in 1999, Fred Durst was the shit. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Metallica, Rage Against the Machine. Anyway, this was Northeast white male bro culture at its worst. The place got destroyed. There were riots. There were fires. There were deaths. There were sexual assaults all over the place. Literally brought out the worst in concert-going experiences. And 22 years later, they have not tried to do Woodstock again. That's actually not true. Didn't they try and do a Woodstock in 2019?
I thought so, yes.
And they just could not get...
secure a location, I believe.
They just couldn't secure the fact that they just couldn't promise the people were not going to be sexually assaulted and raped. That kind of thing really is it's a high priority security wise for public events, and it feels like something Woodstock 99 kind of looked past.
Also, going back to what you were watching a few weeks back, we had watched Marvel's Black Widow. Which has now resulted in a lawsuit. Scarlett Johansson is now suing Disney over their decision to release Black Widow on Disney Plus at the same time as it hit theaters, a move that her team claims depressed ticket sales, which apparently a lot of her compensation was tied to the box office performance of Black Widow. If it hit certain benchmarks, bonuses would kick in since they have not. She has decided to sue.
And how much is she suing for in terms of lost compensation?
I don't know.
$50 million.
Is that
50 million? That is how much Scarlett Johansson is claiming that she did not receive because Disney decided that they should stream Black Widow on Disney Plus for $30 per household. $30 per account.
Now, what is interesting, Warner Brothers, who, as you know,
Warner Brothers, Jerry,
sent their entire film slate to HBO Max during the pandemic. They ended up paying tens of million dollars to actors like Will Smith, Denzel Washington, and Keanu Reeves because they were not able to release them in theaters. If successful, this suit could result in more actors looking to seek additional compensations for films.
What I find stupid, I am not Hollywood. I'm not part of that scene, but I would like to be if they would have me. Is that it feels like her expectations in terms of box office haul is based on pre-pandemic levels, where people are going to theaters left and right. The pandemic has wiped out the movie theater experience. I mean, the only thing interesting about the movie theaters right now is whether AMC is, selling stock or not.
But keep in mind, they also postponed the release of Black Widow numerous times, waiting for theaters to reopen, and then they still made it available on their home streaming service.
They couldn't wait forever because we all know that they needed to come out with the next movie in the Marvel. What is the next movie?
I believe the next movie is that Ten Rings movie.
What's Ten Rings?
I forget the full name of it, but I believe that.
Now, is that Captain America?
That is not Captain America.
Is that Thor?
That is not Thor. Although there
is that Spider-Man.
There is a new Thor. There is a new Spider-Man coming up. There's a new Doctor Strange coming up. But this
Doctor Strange.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Is that when you go to a medical convention and cheat on your wife? Doctor Strange?
That is not. Coming up this Friday, Brian, on HBO Max, the new entry in the DC universe, the Suicide Squad debuts on Friday. Will you watch the Suicide Squad?
Only if I receive that assignment as part of my homework for the podcast.
Brian, I would like you to watch the Suicide Squad and get your...
Do I have to pay for it extra, or is it just part of my...
It is part of your HBO Max subscription.
Next question. Do I need to watch the original Suicide Squad for reference?
Not. You do not.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
So you're saying a week from today, we're both going to be talking about Suicide Squad.
We will, yes. And John Cena's in it, and I know how much you love his hairless, muscular chest. All right, anything else this week, Brian? Are we ready to go get ready for After Dark?
Yeah, After Dark. It is what we call our Patreon content. Every week after the podcast, Sunday nights at 9:30 East Coast time, Ron and I set aside the articles that would get us demonetized off of YouTube, that would get us banned off the interwebs. We put it behind the paywall for as little as $5 a month. You get access to an audio version of the content that we're about to do. It's usually about 30 minutes, sometimes 45, possibly an hour. For $10 a month, you get the link to a live stream, or if you want to join later, you can download the video file. You get swag. You get bonuses. Billy signed up and is owed a slow jam, and stuff like that.
All right.
I don't know why. I don't know why more people haven't signed up.
It's tough to say, but you will be missing out. So we're gonna go get ready for that After Dark Patreon, folks. We will see you in about 18 minutes. Brian, anything else before we cut on out of here?
Love you. Love you.
All right. Love you, my friend. For everybody else, we will catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us on the Ron and Brian podcast. We're live each week on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at ronandbrianpodcast.com. See you again next week.